Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lynn Keys, Real Talk. We're back with another episode for like the 3,000th time. But, you know, it is what it is. We're just enjoying ourselves. Lee, what's up, bro? How you living out there?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Just excited, man, to see what happened this weekend, man. We got two title fights. We got a lot of drama around these fights. So, man, I'm looking forward to it. See what's up.
Me too, bro. You know what's crazy is that I was watching last weekend's card. You know, I was just watching this past weekend's card. And actually, we're going to talk about that. Actually, we're going to get to that. But, yeah, I was watching last weekend's card. And my boy reminded me, I actually didn't even know that Figueiredo and Moreno 3 was on this card. I thought this was on, like, the February or the March card. I thought, man, I could have sworn that that wasn't on there originally. I thought, because I thought it was Ngannou and Gane, and then you had kind of like an okay card for, you know, after that. But I didn't know we had two title fights, man. I just found that out, you know, a couple days ago. So I'm pretty excited. I mean, I was already excited for the card. I'm always excited for every pay-per-view card. You know, every UFC pay-per-view, even if it's not that good, I still get excited for every pay-per-view. But to know that that fight's on there too, that even just spiced it up even more. So, man, I'm locked in. I'm ready for this one.
Well, I think the Moreno-Figueiredo fight got pushed back, and that's why I got pushed to this card. I wanted to say they were supposed to fight at the end of the year, but something happened. I could be wrong on that, but I'm kind of glad that it's on this card, though, because this card, you know, it definitely needed some spice to it.
Yeah, this card, yeah, I think this is good to have two title fights, you know. It's not, you know, it's not the most stacked card. You know, a lot of times, and I think a big reason for that is that we're used to seeing, you know, some of these UFC cards they put together is like, you know, the prelims are so good that you basically could give us the prelims and call that the main card. Like, we're used to seeing cards like that, you know, not every time, but we do see them, you know, more often than not. You see UFC stacked cards like that, so when you don't see that and you kind of see like, okay, this kind of looks like a prelims card. Like, I don't, you know, I haven't heard of this guy. I haven't heard of this young lady. Like, start to look at that and, you know, it seems like it's kind of like they kind of threw it together a little bit. You know, that's when you kind of have, you know, a card like this, and it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, because I'm actually looking at the card. I'm looking at the main card. I mean, they got some names on the main card, but you know, it ain't none that says to be really GOAT. If they want to have Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo as the co-main event, there's nothing on this card that would have said, hey, Lee, go buy this card. Because I'm just looking at the main card. I mean, Cody Stamen versus Nurmagomedov, you know, that might be a good fight. Michael Pereira against this guy, Fiajo. I don't even know who he is. Rodolfo Vieira versus Wellington Turman. I mean, some of these fighters, I don't even know who they are. So it's probably good to have two title fights on this card. And plus, you know, sometimes when you watch the fighters you don't know, sometimes they jump out at you and make you a fan. So, you know, I know Trevin Giles is on this fight. I like him. Charles Jourdain is on this card. I like him. So you never know, man. Somebody might jump out and catch your eye, and they have, and, you know, you find somebody you like. So we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's been names like that. I mean, off the top. To name one, I mean, I know this was a guy that a lot of people, I want to say, they really didn't know. Like, he was really under the radar. I mean, I know when Kama Worthy came on the scene, that's who I was just, you know, kind of referencing there. When Kama Worthy, I believe that's how you say his name, or Hama Worthy.
Yeah,
Kama Worthy. I think he, I think he either left the UFC or he got released. And I know he's fighting like on the independent circuit now, but I'm still a fan of his, and you know I hope he's doing good. I actually have him as a friend on Facebook. He actually accepted my friend request, so that's pretty cool. He usually likes my comments when I comment on his post too, so that's pretty cool. He's a really chill guy. I see him responding to a lot of the people, but to not get away from myself, what I'm saying is when he was on, you know, the first one or two cards he was on, you know, I remember seeing his name. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like, man, who's Kama Worthy? Like, you know, that was kind of one of those names where I was like, okay, like, who is this? Like, I remember he didn't even have – it was one of those ones where they don't even have an avatar. Like, they don't even – they just have, like, the blank – you know, there's, like, the blank avatar. Like, when you look at the stat sheet for the fight, and you're like, man, like, this really must be – this really must be a random because they don't even have a picture for this dude. And I want to say that was what – the case was when he first came on. I want to say his debut fight in the UFC, they didn't have his picture up on UFC.com yet, and he was on the prelims card, and that was just a person like that that at first I was like, man, who the hell is this dude? But then once I saw his name, I want to say it was from us reviewing the card, and it was also from me writing for the scrap at that time. I was I researched him because I think I was writing about him, and then we had talked about predictions. So I think I looked him up for that too. And then when I watched this fight, I was like, okay, now I'm a fan of this guy. I'm like, this dude's legit. He's actually a beast now. This is somebody who on the next card, I'm going to be looking for this guy. And I was. And then I remember he fought Luis Pena later, you know, down the line after that. And then I think he was an underdog versus Luis Pena too. And then he beat Luis Pena pretty bad. He beat Luis Pena down, I want to say. So that it's just it's names like that where you don't really know off top, but then you might watch him, and then you're a big fan of him.
Yeah, man, because what's the kid name that the kid that fought Sean O'Malley, man? I mean, he got his ass whooped. I was like, man, this kid got a lot of heart. I want to see him after he gets some better training and see what he looks like in his next fight. But that kid, I was like, man, all right, I want to see more of his fights. I can't think of his name right now, but I was like, man, I want to see him fight more. So you right, bro. It's like you never know who will jump out at you, you know, on the prelims or names, you know, that you don't know, and then when you see him fight, you be like, all right, I want to see what this guy about.
Yeah, I don't remember his name off the top either. I'd have to look it up, but I want to say he had green hair in the fight. He was a green hair dude, and he could take a punch, man. Sean O'Malley, it was hard to tell whether Sean O'Malley, you know, doesn't have power, or it was making you wonder, like, does he really have power, or does this guy just have a, you know, very, like, this dude just has like a chin of all chins, like, and it could just be that dude is just that durable, that tough. And I want to say he was a former champion in his previous promotion, so he might have even been a former double champ in his previous promotion, that dude that we're talking about. So yeah, that's a good pick. I'm looking forward to see his next fight too.
Yeah, man. But look, man. I came across something today. And I know I tweeted about it last week, and the tweet got a little traction. But this is McDonald's eighth fight on his deal. He signed an eight-fight deal with the UFC. I read today that he said he would not fight for $500,000 or even $600,000 anymore. He said, you know, he just don't think that's fair. I didn't know he was making that type of money for his fights. Did you know he was making that type of money on his fights, Keys?
I thought he was making like $500,000 a fight. Is that what
you're referring to? So you knew he was making that type of money.
I mean, I to be honest, I didn't know. I never knew how much he was making. I mean, I figured he was in the six figures definitely. I just never knew what the number was, but because he became a star pretty quick, and I figured he was making. You know, I figured he was getting up there around the time. You know, he was fighting Overeem, and then he fought Stipe. I figured he was probably making. I just assumed he was probably making like at least 200K a fight, maybe 250. But no, I didn't know he was making 500,000 a fight until it came out recently. What you're talking about?
Hey man, I know that. You know, he's definitely been bitter towards the UFC. And renegotiating his deal, do you think this will take away from his focus on the fight, or do you think this will make him more focused going into this fight?
I mean, I said it the other week when we were talking about it that, well, I mean, I kind of speculated it, you know, whether or not – I speculated whether or not it would take, you know, his mind away from the fight a little bit, you know, all this – drama that's been going on. I mean, and then on top of that, you have like, you know, his former coach, Fernand Lopez, who is now one of Cyril Gane's head coaches. He's, you know, he's coached the both of them, and, you know, I've seen him stirring up a lot of drama about like their sparring footage and like what happened in their sparring sessions. He's been stirring up a lot of drama with that. So, and Ngannou has had to come out and respond a couple times to, you know, some of the allegations and, you know, the footage that came out with that, you know, because headlines are spinning about him. So, you know, you have that, you have, you know, Dana White kind of making comments, you know, during this buildup, which is weird. I don't know why they're going in on him like this right now when he has a title fight, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think it could take him away from the fight a little bit. I mean, it could, because it's at least on his mind, you know what I'm saying? It's at least on his mind, but I mean, at the same time, I think it could fuel him too. You know, I think it could take him away in the sense of, okay, his mind, you know, he might be stressing, you know, his contract and his like future and fighting, but and where he's going to land. But at the same time, like, you know, it could fuel him too. Like it could make him say, okay, I'm going to go out there and lay this dude out and really make a statement for these guys and show Dana White that it's like, you're going to pay me, you know, $1 million per fight or whatever, you know, he's looking for. He's like, maybe he's like, I'm going to go out there and show these guys. You know, maybe it does. It has that effect too.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the second part of your statement. I think it's going to fuel Ngannou, man. We have never seen a champion lead the UFC as a crown champion and go to another organization. I think Ngannou could be the first man to lead the UFC as a champion and sign with another organization. I think he, at first I was worried that this would take away from his focus, but the more stuff I've read and interviews I've seen him in, he seems focused to me like he was focused going into the second Stipe fight. I didn't know he was making this type of money. I thought he was maybe making 200, maybe 250K a fight. And you know, I was like, that is kind of weak for a champion. But 500,000, 600,000, I don't think that's bad money for an MMA fighter, but at the same time, he is a champion. And I know we done said on this show plenty of times, we done tweeted it out plenty of times, champions should make at least $1 million a fight. That's just to be the base figure for the champion going into the fight, $1 million. That's how much they should get. Ngannou, I think he fell out of favor with the UFC when he sided with John Jones when they was talking about the money they should have made for their proposed fight. The UFC has definitely ill will towards John Jones. So I think Ngannou is probably in the same boat now. But I think he's going to come in focused, man. But he's going against a tough guy. He's going against a very, very athletic heavyweight that's nimble on his feet. So he's trained with the guy. So he knows what he's about to get into on Saturday. So he can't have his mind in a boxing ring thinking about free agency. He better be focused on Cyril Gane, or this fight could be over with quick, fast, and in a hurry on Saturday.
Yeah, because, you know, it's – I think another thing, too, to think about is that if you're going to go in emotional and, like, this is not a guy to go in and fight emotional versus, like, you're not – like, Cyril Gane is going to eat that up. Like, if he's going to be – if Ngannou is too in his head about anything for this fight, I think he loses. You know, it's Cyril Gane is just going to use that to his advantage. It's going to make him look even better. You know what I mean? Like, Ngannou cannot expect to just blip him. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a good way to go at this fight. You know, even if let it fuel you in your focus, but I would say maybe don't let it fuel you in your emotion and in your rage, you know, and in your aggression. You know what I mean? I don't think that should be the type of fuel, you know, he should go for. Go for the fuel. Let it fuel your focus. Let it fuel your concentration. You know what I mean? Let it fuel your, you know, a positive mindset. You know what I mean? That's the way I think he could use it to his advantage. But if he's going to use it and, you know, allow it to make him emotional and make him, you know, try to blitz gain or try to, you know, swing wildly or, you know, something like this, or just try to, you know, use too much of his power too early. Like, I think Gain's just going to, you know, Gain, he's too smart for that kind of game. You know what I mean? It's not a guy you can just go in and do that to. So.
Yeah, man. You know, and if you come in there and he try to blitz Cyril Gane, I see him getting taken down really quick. I see him getting taken down, and we all know his wrestling ain't top notch, so he better be patient. And I like what you said, fuel his focus, not fuel his emotion. So, but, you know, with the second title fight, this question, it kind of hit me today. Just for hypothetical, if Figueiredo wins this fight, do we want to see somebody else fight Figueiredo, you know, see another contender get a shot, or do we want to automatically go to the fourth fight? My personal feeling is I don't want to go to a fourth fight. I hope Brandon Moreno finishes this off on Saturday, but if Moreno happens to lose, let's let the next number one contender get a fight, and then, you know, you had either – you have Moreno sitting in the wings. I don't want to see a full fight right off the tilt. I don't like that. I think you put a division in a holding pattern for basically a year and a half while we done had these four fights. If Figgy wins, let somebody else fight him and then bring Moreno. I don't want to see four consecutive fights, Keys. I just don't like it. I don't like the optics of it. And basically, it's kind of disrespecting the rest of the guys in that division. What's your stance on it, bro?
Yeah, I mean, I'm also, we'll get to the predictions later, but I mean, I think the ideal scenario for somebody who wants to, you know, see the division, you know, and you want to see fresh matchups and, you know, different title fights and not just, you know, the same two guys fighting for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years like we've been seeing in many of these divisions, you know, particularly heavyweight. You know, in the interest of that not happening, you know, I think you you want to see Moreno win. And you, like you said, you want to see him close it out with this one. So you can let, you know, the winner of, I don't know who Askarov is fighting next, but I know he has a fight coming up. And I think you maybe let the winner of that fight, you know, jump in there, something like that, you know. So to allow that, I think you would want Moreno to close this trilogy out, even though it's kind of a bogus trilogy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Moreno, I think he won the first fight. I think he won the second fight. And basically, Figueiredo is he just got lucky. And the only reason he got this fight is because of the first fight being ruled a draw. He was up there talking big noise last week during the card I was watching. They had a little vignette between showcasing him and Moreno. And he was talking trash about Moreno being a traitor, because he loves to hear Cejudo to go train somewhere else. And now Figueiredo trains with Cejudo. And, you know, he was talking big trash. So I'm really rooting for Moreno now. So, but, you know, it'll all play out in the Octagon on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into our predictions in a little bit, you know, and hopefully, you know, hopefully Moreno can close out this, you know, quote unquote trilogy, you know, so we don't have to, you know, keep watching the same matchup, you know, same mismatch, you know, of a fight.
All right, man. So what you want to jump into? We got about
35 minutes. So
you got anything else
on your mind? No, so we'll get into predictions in a little bit, but I had two things in my mind. I lost my train of thought. I had two things I wanted to bring up, but I know at least one of them off the top that was regarding. Well, actually, no, you already took one of them with Ngannou. I wanted to say, you know, it's crazy to me how when I read the headline for this fight, when I read the byline for the fight, you know, you go over there and you look at UFC.com and they got the promo there with the byline and it says, you know, UFC 270, you know, the most, you know, featuring one of the, you know, biggest or like most anticipated, I think they said one of the biggest heavyweight fights in history. And I'm just like, man, I can't believe that y'all can even sit there and try to – I mean, of course you're supposed to say that. I get it. Like, I'm not saying they shouldn't say it. But it's just, why can't you act like it? You know what I mean? Like, y'all didn't even promote this fight. Like, how are you gonna like, say that, but you really didn't even promote it? Like, where was the UFC to act like this was the biggest fight? People don't even know – anything about this fight. No one even, you know, there's tons of people out there that don't even know this fight's happening. You know, I'm interested to see what the pay-per-view numbers do for this, because they hardly even promoted this. Like, I saw no marketing for this fight. You know, and to add on to it, I haven't heard anything about a press conference either. I don't know if they're doing a press conference. I haven't heard anything yet. Usually I would hear about it by now, because usually it would be tomorrow or it would be Friday. So one of us would have heard about a press conference by now, and you haven't heard any of them. I mean, I don't know if you heard anything about a press conference, but it's like, really? The biggest, you know, one of the biggest heavyweight fights in UFC history, and basically you have no press conference, you've done little to no marketing, and you're just going to try to tell people it's the biggest fight, but you really didn't treat it like it was? Like, I don't know. That's just – how you feel about that?
I think they're going to use the pay-per-view numbers as a negotiation tool. If Ngannou wins, they're going to say, hey, man, you don't even get solid pay-per-view numbers. But how can you get good, solid pay-per-view numbers when you don't even advertise the fight? I went on ESPN this week, because, you know, I always had ESPN up on my computers, on my computer and on my phone. And since Monday, it's been popping up with the Cyril Gane and Ganu poster. But where is Figueroa and Moreno? You should have those two on the poster too, because that's a title fight. And I know this is going to sound messed up, but people are really not trying to make this sound messed up. Brandon Moreno is a Mexican-American star. You know how many Mexican-American stars get supported in Mexico? Look at where Cain Velasquez was a champion. The Mexican-Americans and the Mexicans were in full support of Cain Velasquez. Y'all, you need to be pushing Moreno out there the same way. You can get more eyes on your product if you were to advertise the fighters that are in the main and the co-main event. The purpose of a pay-per-view is to get people to buy your product and put eyes on it. I think the UFC dropped the ball on this one, Keys, and I think they're doing it out of spite for Ngannou. But at the same time, you hurting Cyril Gane, Figueiredo, and Brandon Moreno, man. And I know that if this pay-per-view underwhelms in numbers, and when Ngannou goes to negotiate, they're going to use this as a negotiating tool, man. They did it with John Jones. They was like, you don't draw numbers. The reason John Jones don't draw numbers is because he was dominating. People got tired of him dominating. So you can't use that as a negotiating tool. But it's the world of business, bro. That's the world of business.
Yeah. It just seems like Dana White's emotional to me. It seems like they're trying to play with their heavyweight champion, and I just think that's whack, honestly. I'm not gonna, you know, there's a lot of times where I try to make sense of some of the things and, you know, look at the business standpoint, but I don't really see the business standpoint on this, to be honest. I think it's a backward, you know, it's not promoting Moreno, not promoting, you know, your undisputed heavyweight champion who's fighting the interim heavyweight champion, not promoting, you know, the first heavyweight unification fight you've had in years, you know, with two big names you could be promoting who are former sparring partners. They came out of the same camp. They have a coach that speaks on experiences with both of the guys. He knows both of these dudes, you know, inside note. They've all trained together. To not be selling that story is not a business, like, tactic. Like, that's, like, anti – you might call it business, but that's bad business. I think that's anti-profit. You're looking at – if you're trying to make money –
it's sabotage.
Yeah, it is sabotage, and it makes no sense. So, you know, for Dana White to do that, I'm really confused because – what I know him as is the money man. He, you know, he wants to do what's going to, you know, make him pay-per-views. I mean, he brought GSP back to fight Michael Bisping for the middleweight title. I mean, he did that because he knew, you know, GSP sells, you know, brings in big pay-per-view numbers. Let's bring GSP back and throw the whole, you know, middleweight division, you know, off track, you know, to sell a big show at Madison Square Garden. And that's what we know him as. So for him to not sell his heavyweight champion, you know, in a unification fight versus an undefeated guy who's been dominating everybody, former sparring partners, it's like, bro, that is just asinine. That is just slightly delusional. I can't even justify that. You know, I can see the sabotage, but I just don't think it's worth it. You know, I think there'd be way more in it for these guys if they were to actually promote their champion, I think, or promote their champions, actually.
Yeah. We're not saying that, me and Keith's not saying that Dana White sabotaging the card, but it do feels a bit sabotagey. But look, man, I got to go back to last weekend. I got to give you a minute to brag on your boy, Calvin Kattar, man. Hey, the first two rounds of that fight, man, those guys went at it, man. But as the fight waned on, Calvin Kattar just looked very, very good Saturday. So talk about your boy, man, from Mass.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up because I was about to forget, and that was something that I did want to talk about, and I brought it up earlier on. I said we run it back, and I'm glad you reminded me. Anyways, that was a great fight. You know what I mean? That was a great fight. You know, they pretty much had a great back and forth. You know, a lot of people would call that a war. I feel like you probably do lean towards calling that a war. They did go the 25 minutes. Kattar, and look, Kattar really shocked the world, man. He really did. He really shocked the world, at least the combat sports world, man. I think a lot of people, you know, saw this guy, you know, Gegard Mousasi, 7-0 UFC. You know, great. I want to say he's a kickboxer, great kickboxing style coming in. They just think, okay, Kattar, you know, he's coming in. We both even, you know, predicted Kattar to lose, and that was, you know, and that's the hometown boy. You know, he lives right around the way. You know what I mean? It's like, and I said this on the show before. I actually know, I know people that know Calvin Kattar. Like that's how real it is. Like, I know people in real life that are my homies that know him, that are boys with him. You know what I'm saying? So he's really from around the way. So, like, you know, I show love to all these guys. Like, that's pretty much my biggest thing. You know, in the UFC right now is, like, all my Massachusetts fighters, like Kattar, Rob Font. There's a couple of them. There was another one on the card, Charles Rosa was on the card last week. I'm not sure what happened with his fight. I didn't see it. But Charles Rosa was on the card. There's more and more fighters from Mass. But, you know, Kattar definitely put on for Massachusetts last weekend. And, you know, I'm extremely proud. That was a very, very proud moment. I was so happy. And it was crazy because my Patriots got absolutely demolished. And, you know, they went down three possessions in that game. I mean, they were down two possessions, and I was, like, telling my boy, like, yo, I'm kind of done watching this. Let's just put UFC on. He insisted keep watching it. Then they went down three possessions. I was like, all right, now I'm seriously done watching this. Like, can we please just run UFC? And we didn't turn it back on the rest of the night. Like, we just went to UFC after that, and I'm very happy with that we did that because, yeah, Kattar put on for the Commonwealth so much. Kattar put on for the city so much that, in my opinion, you know, people I know don't got to agree with this. You know, I don't expect people to agree with me, but I really don't care if you haven't noticed that the Patriots' loss didn't even really matter. I feel like Kattar brought us back. Like, the Patriots lost bad, but this Massachusetts and New England cartel came up so much that I feel like that revived the whole situation. That pretty much, you know, we pretty much lost in the football game, but we won so big in the octagon that was amazing. So his work there was great. You know, he saw flashes of his wrestling. You know, he had takedowns in there. His boxing looked great. You know, I feel like what he showed us is you could tell that, you know, he learned a lot from fighting Max Holloway. I feel like in that defeat, you know, he went back to, you know, he went back to the drawing board, and, you know, he probably watched the footage and corrected a lot of things. You could see, you know, he was sharper in there. His movement looked good. And you know, he was really just, he was firing on all cylinders, man. He even had the spinning elbows. The spinning elbows were absolutely devastating. They were going crazy. He was throwing the spinning elbows, like, in the fourth round. I was like, bro, Kattar wants to fight for 10 rounds, bro. I'm telling you, this dude's still throwing the spinning elbow. Like, he'll go for a knockout, and, you know, in the last, you know, minute of the fight. And he actually did, And I think if he got 10 more seconds in that fifth round, that would have been a fifth round TKO, because he was like maybe a strike or two away from the ref pulling him off of Giga in that fifth round. He really got saved by the bell, because he was putting pain on him. He was putting pain on that dude. I hate to say it, but Cater was trying to break that man. I think he did break that man, low key. He did break that man. I'm very proud, bro. Very proud. He looked sensational.
Yeah, I thought once I thought Giga kind of got out of his game plan. Like you said, he's a kickboxer, and he basically turned it to a stand-up fight. And once he got away from what he does and tried to fight Calvin's fight, I knew it was over. But Calvin did something that you said he should do on the show. You said Calvin should wrestle him a little bit. And lo and behold, in the first round, he came out and wrestled him a little bit. And I think that kind of, you know, had Giga in there thinking, am I going to get taken down again? You know, man, he probably wasn't even suspecting Calvin to come in and wrestle him the way he did. But it was great. It was great to see Calvin add that to his game plan. He was good at it. Giga, like you said, just only his, eighth fight in the UFC. So he still got a lot to learn, still got a lot of growing to do. I don't know whether or not that was his first time main eventing, but sometimes those bright lights get to you, bro. When you get that first main event call, it'll get to you a little bit. But, hey, Calvin definitely did his thing on Saturday. Giga is tough, man. He ate a lot of those spinning elbows. It was one that he caught in the second round. I don't know how he didn't go down, because he caught him flush. I was like, wow. I was like, he survived that? Bro, it was crazy. But great win by Calvin Cater, man. Great win.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so proud, man, because Massachusetts, you know, our fighters have been losing, you know, a lot. Cater lost his last one. Rob Font lost his last one to Aldo. I forget who. There was another name that I was watching. I want to say he's from, like, South Shore, Mass. He fought on one of the recent cards, and he lost. I can't think of his name right now. But he's another, you know, up-and-coming guy in the UFC. So we were, like, pretty much 0-3. And then that's not including, like, Charles Rosa's last fight, not including a couple other guys that I know from Mass. But just looking at those three guys right there, we were 0-3, you know, on guys that I was rooting for in those fights. And, he really brought us back big with that one. That was huge. So I'm definitely proud. And he's so humble, bro. He don't even – you know what I mean? I love when guys call guys out. But, you know, for him – I like the way he goes at it. You know, I like to see him just, you know, put in hard work. And, yeah, of course he wants, you know, he'll fight. You know, he'll take the big fights, but, you know, it's okay. He doesn't want to talk trash. He just wants to show everything in the octagon, and I respect that about him. You know, that's cool with me too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm proud of the guy. Definitely made the Commonwealth proud, I'll say that.
Y'all a Commonwealth up there, Mass?
Yeah, the Commonwealth, yeah.
We're a Commonwealth in Virginia, too.
That's crazy.
Hey, I had the sound down. I had some music playing while I was watching that fight. Did he call out anybody or no?
I don't think he did. I want to say in the interview after, he was just like, I don't think he called anybody out. I think he was pretty humble. I think he was like, you know, a lot of guys want to talk their way, you know, into the big fights, or, you know, kind of similar to what Holloway's been saying about trying to take the elevator. You know, he kind of was talking similar to that, you know, saying he just kind of wants to, you know, put his work in the octagon to get those big fights. He didn't, I want to say he didn't call anybody out, but he did say, he said something. He said the same, I want to say he said the same thing that Holloway said in his post-fight interview when he beat Calvin Kattar. He made like a reference to what Holloway said. He said, remember after that fight, when I think in the build-up, Calvin was like talking trash. I forget what he said about Holloway in the build-up, but then I think Calvin said Calvin claimed like he was the best boxer in the featherweight division or something like that. And then I think when Holloway beat him after in Holloway's post-fight interview, I want to say Holloway was like, yeah, like, you know, he said this and that, and I took that personally. And then in Calvin's post-fight interview after the Giga fight, he said that same thing. He said like the way Giga was like talking about me, and like he said something in the build up, and like I took that personally. He said that same phrase, I took that personally. Nobody noticed that. Like the media didn't even pick that up, I don't think.
No, I know I had the sound down, so. But, you know, man, Calvin definitely rebounded from the Holloway fight. He actually, like, he got better. He definitely added some things to his game. So I like what I saw from him, man. And that's all we ask is that guys get better, you know, as they progress in their career. And it looked like he added some things to his game, and I liked it. I definitely loved his performance. Giga is one tough guy, but this is a fight he'll learn from. You have to go in. You can't let a fighter take you out of what you do best. Especially, you voluntarily took yourself out of what you do best. So, yeah, man. But look, we're down to like 15 minutes. We got this card on Saturday. I don't even know where to start at, man. So where you want to go with this card?
I mean, I was thinking we could just – the first fight on the main card, I'm not familiar with these two guys, Rodolfo Vieira and Wellington Thurman. I don't know these two guys. Yeah, I'm thinking we could just start with Cody Stamann's fight, the fourth fight down, Cody Stamann and Saeed Nurmagomedov.
Is that Khabib's brother or cousin or something?
I think Saeed is his cousin.
Okay.
I think he's his cousin. And it says he's from Russia, but when I looked at his stats, it said his takedown average per minute is 0.45. Takedown accuracy is 7%. So. If he may be Khabib, he may be Khabib's cousin, but it doesn't seem like he's got the same skill set. 7% takedown accuracy. Stamann is 44%.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, man. So who you got winning this fight?
No, I got Cody Stamann all day, man. They want to keep sleeping on this guy. I guess the UFC.com says he is number 15 ranked. I could have sworn just last week they had him as unranked, but I don't know. They always like to mess around with the rankings. I just think Stamann's underrated. You know, he's got a great wrestling pedigree, and he's got the striking. He's got the physique. I feel like he will show us that he's got the cardio once he starts getting, you know, a five-round fight or two. This is a three-round fight, but still, I think he's got, you know, multiple pieces of his game that, you know, he's a pretty well-rounded fighter, and I feel like, you know, he's got a good mindset for the game too. You know what I'm saying? So I think Cody Stamann beats Saeed Nurmagomedov. I think it'll be, I'll say Stamann by unanimous decision. That's what I'll go with.
Oh man. Actually, Saeed Nurmagomedov is not related to Khabib Nurmagomedov, so they're not family. Not that that really matters to me. I like Cody Stamann also. it seems like Cody is basically surrendered himself to the bantamweight division. Thankfully, I don't like guys that go up and down and weight. I like them to just fight at one weight. But, you know, sometimes the older you get, it's harder to make weight. So maybe that's why he was going up to lightweight. But I like him in this fight. I think he's a veteran. I think he's going to come in there with a solid game plan. I don't know how he finished. I think he finishes Nurmagomedov. I say he finishes on probably second round knockout or second round TKO. I just like Cody Stamen, man. Although he's on a two-fight losing streak, if you look at the guys he lost to, he lost to Jimmy Rivera, unanimous decision. He lost to Morad Divacic. Oh, he was the one that had Morad in trouble in his last fight. The one that me and you was like, Morab had to rebound and fight through adversity. That was against Cody Stamen. Okay. So we don't put that puzzle
No, Morab was fighting Marlon Moraes.
That was Marlon Moraes?
Yeah, that was his last one.
Because May 1st, Cody Stamen also fought Morab Divas severely. And he lost via unanimous decision. Okay. But I like Cody Stamen in this fight, man. I'm going to go second round, TKO. I think he overwhelms Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov, when you was reading the stats, it doesn't seem like he has a wrestling game. So I think that just goes to benefit Cody Stamen even more. I like Cody Stamen in this fight. What's the next fight?
Okay. The next one, you got Mitchell Pereira and Andre Fialho, which he sounds really familiar, but I'm not sure who this guy is. He sounds really familiar. I want to say I've seen him fight somewhere. Maybe that I've read an article about him or something, but I know he's on Fialho is apparently on his last four wins have all come by knockout. And his percentage is 70-something percent. 79% of his wins have come by knockout or TKO.
Well, it's funny because I'm looking at ESPN. He has no stacks on ESPN. This is his first fight in the UFC. I don't even know. Yeah, I'm looking at some of these names on this list. I don't even know any of these guys on this list, but he's won his last four fights by KO. I'm going with Michelle Pereira, man. This is Andre's first fight in the UFC, fighting on the main card, on the big card at that. I think Michelle Pereira beats him handily. This Andre kid, he may be a tough guy, but toughness only going to take him so far. I got Michelle Pereira winning this fight by second round submission.
I say, you said first round submission?
Second round submission.
So I'm going to go with the wild card on this one. I'll pick this Fialho guy to win this fight, even though I'm not familiar with much of who he is. I'm just kind of going off on a whim here and just, you know, it's like when Johnny Walker first came into the game, and I remember really doubting Johnny Walker because they didn't even have a picture for him on the UFC's website, and I was like, oh, man, like, you know, they're having this, you know, Johnny Walker guy who doesn't even have a picture, first fight in the UFC. They're going to have him fight Khalil Roundtree. I'm like, man, that's a tough first fight. I'm like, Khalil Roundtree Jr. for your first fight? I was like, damn, that's not a good welcoming gift to come into UFC. And then he went in there and pretty sure he stopped Roundtree in the first round. And that really really shocked me right there. So I'm not saying that everybody, you know, that's a testament that everybody needs to make that pick. I'm just saying that it does happen sometimes. And it may not happen this time, but I'm just kind of going off on a whim. I'll take Fialho to knock out Michel Pereira in the second round. Clean knockout. I'm saying, like, actual knockout.
Okay, okay. Man, I thought Greg Hardy was on this fight. I thought Greg Hardy was on this card for some strange reason.
He was. He got pulled off the card. I think he injured his finger.
Okay, okay.
That was like last was like a couple days. He like just got pulled off the card like a couple days ago.
All right, man. Here we go. Co-main event. Brandon Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo for the flyweight title. Brandon Moreno -175. Figueiredo +150. First fight was a controversial draw, in my opinion. Second fight, no doubter, Moreno with the submission. Unfortunately, we're at a third fight for the flyweight belt. Who you got?
I'm going with Moreno in this fight. And it's not really – it's. I know we talked about earlier how we want to, you know, we want to see Moreno win to, you know, kind of close out the trilogy. But that's not really the reason why. It's not really because of that. It's more just – I just think he's the better fighter. I think you showed us that in the first fight. He was better. I had him winning, I want to say, four out of the five rounds. The second fight, you know, I thought he really showed us he was a lot better there. I thought he won, you know, all the rounds. And then up until the point when he won by submission, I want to say that was in the third round. So, in my opinion, Moreno has won – seven out of the eight rounds that they have fought each other so far. And I just think he's at least, you know, one notch above, if not two notches above. And that's also in the heart department too. I think Moreno, not just in his skills as a fighter, but in his heart and in his will to fight, I think Moreno has more in him. You know, I think he has the ability to rise up. You know, even if he takes a loss, he comes back, or even, you know, he might be in a choke. I think, you know, I would expect, you know, he's the kind of guy that fights that, you know, tries to hold out, you know what I mean? And I just, I think in this fight, he'll, you know, we'll see again what we saw in the second fight. We'll see he has better boxing. So definitely his boxing will be on display. I always love watching, you know, I always love watching his striking in the cage. Figueiredo will definitely come in hard. You know, he's been training with Henry Cejudo and stuff like that. So maybe Figueiredo will try to wrestle. I mean, that might actually be a good game plan for Figueiredo, honestly. But, you know, Figueiredo will fight hard. I think we'll have a good exchange, you know, the first couple of rounds. But I think Moreno will win, you know, the majority of the rounds. And I think he'll finish the fight in the fourth round by TKO.
Cejudo training Figueiredo. We know Cejudo, when he was fighting, Cejudo was actually a top-notch wrestler. And he was a well-rounded fighter. I still think it was a questionable win over Demetrius Johnson, but that's neither here nor there. Will Figueiredo be amped up to try to avenge Cejudo because Moreno left his camp? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm with you. I think Moreno is the better fighter. I think he's better in the stand-up. I think he's better on the ground. Figueiredo has not shown me anything that he's better than Brandon Moreno is. He hasn't shown me one thing that he can do better than Brandon Moreno. I'm picking Brandon Moreno to win this fight. It's going to be a tough fight. I think this one goes the distance, and I think Brandon Moreno wins by unanimous decision.
On to our main event. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
We got France.
All right.
We got France Ngannou and Cyril Gane for the heavyweight unification.
Yeah. Cyril Gane is a -155. Francis Ngannou is a +130. Cyril Gane won the intro heavyweight title by beating Derek Lewis. Francis Ngannou won the heavyweight title by beating Stipe Miocic, the greatest heavyweight ever. Two former training partners, both on 6'4". Ngannou's going to have probably a weight advantage over Cyril Gane, and he's also going to have a 2-inch reach advantage over Cyril Gane. Cyril Gane is one of the Kings' guys at 10-0, and Ngannou 16-3. Who you got, Keys?
So for this one, I'm going to be going with, I think Ngannou is going to come out. You know, I think he'll look good. I think he'll fight a good fight regardless of, you know, all the BS that's been circulating, you know, the past couple of weeks, you know, in the build up to this fight. Like I said, it's a shame that they didn't promote the heavyweight champion more than they did. You know, some of that stuff might be on his mind, but I still think I still think he'll come out and fight a good fight. I just think that, you know, Cyril Gane is just still, you know, he's just much more athletic. And Ngannou did show that, you know, it did seem to be that he has been drilling wrestling. You know, if you look at, you know, the way he fought Stipe in the rematch, when Stipe went for a takedown, taking Ngannou down, and Ngannou pretty much had like this quick reversal of the takedown and then was immediately like throwing shots to the side of Stipe's head. It was actually pretty scary, the way that he transitioned like that. So Ngannou will definitely show, I think Ngannou will definitely show even more improvements, that he's been making even more improvements to his game. And I think he'll fight a good fight. But I just think that if neither of these guys are going to look to wrestle and this is going to just be a striking match, I think Cyril Gane is just going to outwork Ngannou. And I think he's going to outlast Ngannou. He's going to tire him out. And I think, you know, he drags Ngannou into the deep, deep waters, deeper than where he brought Derek Lewis, because I believe Ngannou will have a better cardio than Derek Lewis. I think Ngannou can make it into the fifth round, especially now. He's kind of slimmed down a bit from where he was too. But I think Gane will drag Ngannou in deep, deep waters into the fifth round. And I think he'll catch Ngannou with a shot in the fifth. He'll catch an exhausted Ngannou with a shot in the fifth round, and he'll stop him via TKO to become the undisputed UFC heavyweight champion of the world.
The crazy part is, last week I was all on the Cyril Gane bandwagon, but the more I thought about it, I like Ngannou, man. I think something that you said earlier, I think he's going to use his what's going on with him in the UFC to fuel his focus. I think he's going to come in there. He's going to feel Cyril Gane out. He's going to come in there and blitz Cyril Gane. I think he's going to let Cyril Gane come to him. And I think Ngannou catches him probably in the second round. I'm going to go with Francis Ngannou. Second round knockout. Ngannou marches on to another promotion with the UFC belt strapped around his waist and his first fight with his new promotion. Or he goes into the boxing ring against Tyson Fury with the UFC championship. I think if everything was on the even scale, if we didn't have to stay with the UFC probably in the background, I would have probably picked Cyril Gane. But I'm going with Ngannou, man. I think Ngannou pulls it out against his former sparring partner.
Wow, I can't believe two rounds, man. My guy gives Gane two rounds in the fight before he gets slumped out. Oh, man. You hurt my feelings with that one, bro. Two rounds, that really hurt. You couldn't even went with the Keys special with the third round. You had to go with the second round. That's difficult, bro. That's he gave my boy two rounds, man. Two rounds to be in the fight.
Hey, Keys, the funny part was I was going to go with the Keys special, but when you look at how Ngannou fights, if he's going to finish him, it's normally either the first or the second round. So that's why I went with the second round.
Yeah, yeah, no, that I totally get that. That makes sense.
Yeah, man, so UFC 270 Saturday, heavyweight unification belt bout. Then we got the flyweight championship fight. Hey, one of me and Key's favorite fighters is fighting Saturday, Cody Stamen. So this card, when you look at it on paper, there aren't a lot of names you know. But as Keys would tell you, these cards normally overperform because you don't know these fighters. So I'm going to definitely probably be watching the prelims just to see some of these people fight. I definitely want to see Trevin Giles fight. But any last words, bro?
No, I mean, probably just shout out to Darren Wynn. I really respected what I saw, you know, of Darren Wynn. I saw the picture of that gentleman and his son. He coaches his son in wrestling. And I saw that picture that, you know, the father said, you know, he probably has something along the lines of he probably has the worst wrestling coach out there. But no matter what, I'll still always be in his corner. And Darren Wynn, you know, we all know he's pretty skilled in wrestling, a UFC guy. And he responded to the tweet and he offered – you know, that gentleman and his son to, you know, that he would fly them out to come to go out to Cali to where Darren Wynn trains at his gyms. And Darren Wynn said, you know, he covered basically all expense paid, you know, cover the gym fees and teach his son and teach his father how to, you know, about wrestling so he can be able to be a better coach for his son. And, you know, that was really dope. You know, that was really touching to me. You know, I get kind of choked up even just thinking about it, you know, that was really, I really respected that when I saw that. That's the kind of stuff that I see that, you know, reminds me that, you know, that there's a lot of love out there in the world. Even though sometimes it seems cold, that those kinds of moments remind me there's a lot of good and a lot of love out there in the world. And that those kinds of moves, that's what makes a man. So a lot of respect to Darren Wynn. A lot of love for him for that. That's my closing statement.
Yeah, it was when you retweeted that and you CC'd me on it. Hey, at first when I first read it, I really didn't have any words, but then I went back and I read it again, and I sent the guy. I was like, hey man, don't you worry about you being a bad coach. It's all about you taking interest in what that kid likes. That kid will remember that for the rest of his life. Keep your head up. Keep doing what you're doing. And, man, that was probably, man, just the way he replied back to my tweet, it just, like you said, man, it let me know that, you know, man, good humans are still out there, bro. And Darren Wynn, man, shouts out to you, man, for doing that for that guy. That kid is going to be – he's going to be overwhelmed that first day. But that second day, he's going to learn so much from you, and he's going to remember so much from those training classes that I guarantee you he'll be a better wrestler. And salute to the dad, man. Salute. I don't know or not that's his dad or stepfather, but salute. Keep doing what you're doing. And, hey, that's what it's all about, man, molding our kids, man. That being said, I'm getting emotional.
See, I told you. I told you that. Just even seeing that, I get choked up. I bet you told me to get my closing statement off. I could barely get it off from getting choked up. Now you're getting emotional. That's too real, bro. It's too real. It was very moving for me. Very moving. There was a lot of love in that. You know what I mean? That regardless of the situation, that gentleman, you know, loved that kid very much. You know what I mean? And that's awesome to see that. You know, and to see, you know, Darren Wynn come out. You know, a guy that, you know, he's not the biggest fighter in the UFC, but he still is in a pretty good financial situation, and he's able to afford to train at gyms he trains at. You know, the kid is probably, you know, in a local wrestling program. You know, Darren Wynn, to bring somebody up and put them on like that, and to offer, you know, to pay to fly them out and, you know, pay for his camp fees and teach them like that, man, that's some of the best stuff that, you know, that I ever see, is stuff like that. That kind of energy is that's the kind of energy that gets me up and, you know, gets me moving every day, to see stuff like that. You know, that's a reminder that, you know, that there, like Lee said, that there are good people out there in the world still, and, you know, that there is still kindness out there. You know what I mean? And there are people that want to reach out and help. You know, it's not just everybody dealing with, you know, their problems and nobody cares. You know, that there are people that want to lend a hand, and it's really nice to see somebody like on his level to reach, you know, reach out and try to help, you know, a kid and his dad, you know, coming up. That's absolutely incredible. So, you know, shout out to all of them. You know what I mean? Shout out to all of them.
Yeah, man. It was definitely, you know, part of the highlight of my week, man. Just to see how that went down. You know, I was glad, you know, I just wanted to keep the guy head up, man, when I tweeted back at him, that he came back and thanked me. But, you know, that's what we're here for, man. It's about the love of the sport, a violent sport, but it's a lot of good guys in this violent sport, a lot of good guys and girls. So that being said, everybody have a great weekend. I know the weather's supposed to be bad back east this weekend due to the storm coming. I know that where I'm from, they're supposed to get between 8 to 10 inches of snow. They're not used to snow there. So everybody just take care of yourselves, you know. To my man Keys, man, have a great weekend. I don't know if I'm going to be live tweeting during the fight Saturday. My birthday is Friday, so we'll see what happens, man. And like always, closing out the show, we always end with a peace.